Johnny Mac with your daily comedy news. You may have missed this. Governor Brian Kemp of Georgia was on Fox News last week and mangled the Star Spangled Banner. Kemp told the Fox News host, "It's America, the land of the home and freedom reigns." Colbert said, "Land of the home and freedom reigns? It's as American as pie ball and the mom and bars." I gotta say, props to Fox host Lawrence Jones, who just rolled with it. That poise is going to come in handy as a rudderless GOP descends into patriotic word salad. Lawrence, this country was built by Abraham Freedom, no matter what Joe Bantifa's labor babies say about cancel culturing our ego guns reigns. And patriots like Governor Kemp will not be constrained by the traditional actual lyrics to the Star Spangled Banner. So as a tribute to him, this is Colbert talking, I think, please put your hand over the organ of your choice and join me in this Kemp-inspired rendition of our national home and freedom reign. And it goes like this. Oh, say, can you see by the donner partay what so twilight we proud at the gleaming PlayStation, whose bra straps and big cars drew the Perry Farrell over the streaming we watched were so galloping ponies, and the Rockets met Bears, Robert Durst as an heir, gave Fruit Loops the right to our Fraggle still cared. Oh, see, can you stop Big Bruce Banner, Flavor Flav, or the land of the home and the freedom reigns, ball play. Well done there, Stephen Colbert. Writers. Meanwhile, Mike Lindell, you know, my pillow guy, he was refused entry to a meeting of the Republican Governors Association in Nashville. Seth Meyers says, as a baby, his first words were, "But my friends are in there." Seth again, bars, libraries, children's birthday parties. I mean, really, any place where you have to keep your voice down is a no-go for Mike Lindell. From Vulture, we can now confirm Hillary Clinton does not drink blood. The source of this, Hillary herself. Have you watched Amazon's Borat subsequent movie-filmed delivery of prodigious bribe to American regime for make benefit once glorious nation of Kazakhstan? Yes, I stumbled, but I am not reading that again. I have not had a chance to watch that yet. In debunking Borat, Borat's friends Jim and Jerry, you know, the like white supremacist dudes, they have one conspiracy that they do believe, that Hillary Clinton drinks the blood of tortured children. Fortunately, Secretary Clinton made time to record a video message for Jim and Jerry. Sacha Baron Cohen shared a preview of it on Twitter. In the episode, she talks about how the conspiracies about her are hurtful, not just to me and my family, but to my friends and other people who know that this is not just false, but, you know, sometimes painfully false. Well, of course, Hillary Clinton is going to deny that she drinks children's blood. I mean, does that prove anything? Think about it. Don't write me a letter. It's a joke. I have not watched the Borat yet. I'm on, what are we up to now? Like day 7 or 8 of me trying to finish off Army of the Dead. Never home, man. From Deadline, Tribeca and Comedy Dynamics are reteaming for a slate of 10 stand-up comedy specials to be filmed at the Tribeca Film Festival. Sounds like Tribeca is doing a lot of comedy. Told you yesterday about Chappelle's documentary. Tribeca runs in New York City June 9th through the 20th. Here's what Comedy Dynamics are up to. June 12th, Bill Bellamy, 2 shows, 8:30 and 10:30. Bill, you know Bill, he's been around forever. Def Comedy Jam, MTV Beach House, Last Comic Standing. Bill is very funny. Coco Brown, June 17th, 2 shows. Coco Brown is a comedian and actress who has appeared on Showtime at the Apollo, One Mic Stand, and BET's Comic View. Helen Hong, June 16th. Helen only gets 1 show at 10:30. Helen apparently is a fan favorite on the NPR podcast Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, and was a recurring character on HBO's Silicon Valley. Maya DiGiorgio also only gets 1 show, June 16th, 8:30, recognized by New York's Time Out magazine as one of the, quote, freshest, funniest, unique voices to grace the microphone. Josh Gondelman gets 1 show, June 13th at 8:30. He's a writer and producer for Desus and Mero. He had spent 5 years at Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, where he earned 2 Peabody Awards, so you know he's funny. Josh charms audiences using his good-natured storytelling and cracks them up with his sharp, pointy wit, takes topics from surprise parties to his experience teaching preschool, and makes them all equally hilarious. Ms. Cracker is a New York City drag queen, writer, and comedian. She gets 1 show June 13th, 10:30 p.m. Kellen Erskine has appeared on Conan, Jimmy Kimmel Live, America's Got Talent, and the Amazon original series Inside Jokes. Kellen gets a show 8:30 p.m. on June 14th. He was selected to perform on the coveted New Faces Showcase at Just for Laughs in Montreal. You know, I always tell you about that. He was there back in 2018. Katrina Davis, 1 show, June 14th at 10:30 p.m. Katrina is from Jacksonville. She took on enough contenders in Roast Battle at the Comedy Store to be ranked amongst the top 50 battlers in 2018 and can be seen on America's Got Talent. Some of my mom probably knows who Katrina Davis is. Another comedian my mom's going to know, Jackie Fabulous, captured America's heart as a semifinalist on the 2019 season of America's Got Talent. Good to see Comedy Dynamics zoning in on the comedians that 82-year-old women are familiar with. My mom is going to love these shows at the Tribeca Comedy Film Festival. It's not a comedy film festival, but I made myself laugh. I'm leaving it in. Jackie Fabulous is a hilarious and affable stand-up comedian, writer, actor, producer, motivational speaker, and headliner, and pads a resume, apparently, who uses her jokes and sparkling nature to simultaneously entertain, encourage, and empower audiences. Rule of three copywriting there. Did you see that? Entertain, encourage, and empower. That's the rule of three. That's what you do. You put three things. It makes it sound impressive. I write copy all the time. Trust me. And Stephen Michael Quezada. Now, I recognize that name, and I'm not crazy, because the next sentence says, Stephen is best known for his role as DE agent Stephen Gomez on Breaking Bad. You know, Gomez from Breaking Bad? The, like, serious agent that works with the brother-in-law, whose character probably has a name. I only watched the show for 7 years. That guy? Who knew? Stephen Michael Quezada, June 15th at 10:30 p.m. Bert Kreischer is going on tour. Now, right now, he's in Serbia filming The Machine. That's a movie about one of his funniest bits. But he has announced the Bertie Boy Tour Relapse, 50 shows coming to a town near you. I am not reading off 50 tour dates. You can Google Bert Kreischer Tour and figure that out for yourself. Michael Ian Black owns a robot car, says Vulture. Michael Ian Black was on Vulture's scavenger hunt, where he revealed that the coolest thing he owned was the robot car he was doing the interview from. He doesn't have to steer his robot car unless he has to, then he does. So it's like he doesn't have to drive, but also he does, so he can't fall asleep. Anyway, Michael Ian Black owns a robot car. Ronnie Chang is starting to branch out into more film roles. He was in Crazy Rich Asians. He's in the upcoming Marvel Shang-Chi and The Legend of the Ten Rings that comes out this summer. Now he's been cast in an upcoming science fiction movie titled Megan, except where the E goes in Megan, there's a three. So M3GAN. How should I pronounce it? Mithrigan? I'm going to go with Mithrigan just for the bit. Allison Williams plays Gemma, a brilliant roboticist at a toy company. She uses artificial intelligence to develop Mithrigan, a lifelike doll programmed to be a kid's greatest companion and a parent's greatest ally. After unexpectedly gaining custody of her orphan niece, Gemma enlists the help of the Mithrigan prototype, a decision that has unimaginable consequences. No word yet on who Chang will be playing in the film. Speaking of Mithrigan, this is a good time for me to promote Palace Intrigue. That's the other podcast that I write for. That's all about the royal family and Prince Harry and his wife Mithrigan Markle, and they're always stirring it up. But Kate Middleton is just so wonderful. I mean, you got to hear the stories that the British press puts out about Kate Middleton. She is the greatest thing since Queen Elizabeth II herself. They love Kate. Mithrigan, they don't love her so much. So that's called Palace Intrigue, wherever you get your shows. The Hollywood Reporter spoke to Chris Redd. Hollywood Reporter said, it seems like SNL culture has changed. You're now able to take time off to do other projects and still be part of the show, Chris Redd said. I think it's true. I came in with a couple jobs already. So that was one of my things. I was like, yo, I got to be able to do stand-up and I got to be able to do a couple things here and there in the summer at least. And it's been nice. I mean, I don't sleep. I haven't slept since last year, but I was broke till I was 30, so I don't need to sleep. As for working on the Kenan sitcom, we were flying in on Friday night to get to New York Saturday morning, then would sleep and come to the studio, rehearse a couple times, then do the show, SNL meaning rehearse a couple times, and then do SNL, then fly back out to LA Sunday at 8 a.m. to shoot Kenan the whole week. Woo! We're hoping to not have to do that again, but it was very dope to be working with your friends. Joel Kim Booster caught up with the Daily Beast. Joel said, the question is always asked, why hasn't there been a gay male Ellen or something like that? I think part of it is general discomfort with the way that gay men have sex. I think it's really hard to look at a gay man and not think about anal. I'm going to disagree. But okay, because of the internet and because it's so easy to find your niche audience, it made it more difficult for somebody to break through with broad appeal. And I don't necessarily want to have broad appeal. I don't necessarily need or want for every single person. I'm not looking to be as relatable as John Mulaney. It's just not me. I'm never going to be the comedian that everyone in middle America is flocking to see. And I'm okay with that. I've made my peace with that because I've found a pretty great dope audience that likes my stuff. The word dope has appeared twice in the podcast already today. And you have ever been like 10 plus minutes into your podcast and realized that you forgot to take the break? That happens. Well, unfortunately, my buddy Glenn and I did not make it to the Dubai Comedy Festival this year, perhaps next year. But one person who did make it, Maz Jobrani. Maz is happy to be back on the stage, saying doing stand-up comedy is kind of like going to the gym. You have to get up on stage 5-10 times a week. You have to keep going or the muscles are going to be rusty. At the Dubai Comedy Festival, Jobrani broke into an Iranian dance routine to one of Dua Lipa's hit pop songs, drawing laughter from an audience eager to be out. As the coronavirus pandemic still rages across much of the world, the UAE has one of the world's highest per capita vaccination rates, and its economy largely has reopened. Maz likes this a lot better than drive-in shows, because he says at drive-in shows, you don't hear their laughter, and you need to remind them, if you like what I'm saying, if you like the joke, please honk. So people would honk at you, but then you'd tell a joke, and they would honk at you. Joe Coy got a TV show from the ABC. Oh, no, the Australian's going to be like, wait, you got a show down here? Sorry, from the American ABC. I shouldn't have said the ABC. See what I did there? Never mind. Joseph, no H at the end, is a single-camera sitcom based on the life of a hardworking Filipino-American nurse. It's in development at America's ABC. Stand-up comedian Joe Coy is attached to star as the protagonist. He'll also executive produce. The show follows Joseph as he navigates dating, fatherhood, and his mother moving in with him. Nish Kumar spoke to The Guardian and he said, one of the things I've noticed over time, there's a narrow band of opinions you're expected to have if you're born in this UK country and your parents are of ethnic minorities. If you are a person of color and you don't just tell everybody how wonderful Britain is, how it's not racist, there's a sense of your ingratitude. There's a sense that you were given plenty. So how dare you? People like me who come from an ethnic minority who were born in this country, if we do anything that even vaguely tries to interrogate Britishness or British history, there's a sense that we should just be quiet and be grateful. But I thought that was the point of being born in Britain. I thought I was supposed to consider myself to be a British person, that I was supposed to have the same rights as any other British person to criticize, to interrogate, to make jokes out of what's happening here. What I've realized over time is there's a viable minority of people who simply do not feel that way. It's where we're at the moment. It means we're not having honest conversations about the state of race in this country, and it sucks. The Guardian mentions that Nish kicks together his Simpsons shoes as he wraps up the interview. Now, speaking of the Simpsons, Metal.com says, who says having a mental library of Simpsons trivia is a useless skill? Not Arizona-based band Oakley Dokley. They play Nettle as a Ned Flanders plus metal. They describe their style of music as not as fast as Bartcore and a little cleaner than crusty punk. Oh, there are other Simpsons bands like Dr. Colossus. Dr. Colossus is named after the ex-husband of Malibu Stacy creator Stacy Lovell. The Australian-based Dr. Colossus is about to release their second LP, which is called I'm a Stupid Moron with an Ugly Face and a Big Butt, and My Butt Smells and I Like to Kiss My Own Butt. That is the follow-up to 2017's I'm a Stupid Moron. So if you're into Simpsons metal, you are covered there. What if you're into parks and recreation music? You know, they were on the top 10 of Rolling Stone's completely insane top 100 sitcoms of all time. I am still not over that. Oh, that reminds me. Lane Spurkus jumped on the Instagram. He commented on Rolling Stone's completely insane top 100 sitcoms of all time, writing, No Happy Days, Laverne and Shirley, Mork and Mindy, not to mention I Dream of Jeannie and Mama's Family, even my personal favorites such as Married with Children, Three's Company, King of Queens, That 70s Show, none of that made the top 100. I can't take this seriously, and I wanted to after the Bob's Burgers inclusion made you so dumbfounded. Yeah, man, there's 10 cartoons on that. You listed a whole bunch of sitcoms. I named a whole bunch yesterday. That list is crap. If I ever have free time, maybe I'll make my own list. We'd love to hear from everybody else. What should have been on that list? You can hit me up on Instagram at Daily Comedy News. If you missed the discussion, it was the 5 episodes over the holiday weekend. Rolling Stone's completely insane top 100 sitcoms of all time. But back to Parks and Rec, which somehow is in the top 10. The fictional band Mouse Rat from Parks and Rec is releasing an actual album. It's been announced that Andy Dwyer's band Mouse Rat is coming out with their first LP titled The Awesome Album. Many of the real songs featured on the LP are some of your favorite fake songs that were on the show. And yes, the show's tribute to Little Sebastian, 5,000 Candles in the Wind is included. Things get more meta from there. The album will be a joint release between Dual Tone, which is a real company, and Entertainment 720, which is a fictional company created by Tom Haverford, played by Aziz Ansari. And some of the artists joining the album, they include Ron Swanson's alter ego Duke Silver and local Pawnee rock band Lan Ho. Even we're confused by what's real and what isn't at this point, says the laugh button. From Chortle, an anonymous backer gave £25,000 to hashtag Save Live Comedy to help comedians cope with the COVID lockdown. That adds to the £25,000 which supporter Panadol gave to kickstart the appeal. With further uncertainty over the next stage of the government's roadmap, the hashtag Save Live Comedy Fund is needed as much as ever. And from Speed Sport, Jay Leno helped deliver the command to start the engines at the 62nd Coca-Cola 600 at the Charlotte Motor Speedway last weekend. But Speed Sport says one thing Jay Leno is not, is a race car driver. Jay Leno said, I'm not doing an impression. For starters, race car driving is like sex. All guys think they're good at it. And that apparently caused the room to erupt in chuckles. You just have to talk to the person in the other seat to really know how it is. That's not bad. I think people are natural-born athletes, though. Walter Payton from the Chicago Bears, he was not a car guy, but he got asked to come out and do the Toyota Grand Prix. He came to the driving school and he was like, shift, clutch, what? But within an hour, he was close to the track record for the celebrity event. He was faster than anyone else. I had Paul Newman on my show once, and he was like 80 at the time, but Paul was a real racer. At that time, NBC only had one show going, so they had a quarter mile of empty hallways with all the sound stages shut down. So I got a couple electric go-karts, practice all day, and I said, I'm going to kick Paul Newman's tail. And Newman still beat me. It was unbelievable. He was so fast. Jay says, you either have it or you don't. And I don't. But I enjoy watching it, and I respect it. The men and women who do it, the racing. I was astounded, but I don't think I could do it myself. That is another very long daily comedy news, and I was worried there'd be no news this week. As for the weekend, totally normal episodes. I got plenty of stories to tell you, so things are going great here. Thank you for following. If you don't, follow the show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or Google Podcasts. If you like what I do, you can support the show at buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews and throw $5 in the tip jar. I would really appreciate that. Susan, thank you for your monthly contribution. Much appreciated. buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. See you tomorrow.